praise the Lord with my music. And bless the Lord. Praise Him with all your might. Come on. Come on. Give Him your best praise. His holy name. Come on, God is good and He's worthy to be praised. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. God is awesome. God is a God of authority. Glory to His name. Praise the Lord. Worship Him in the spirit of holiness. he seeks such a one who would worship him in spirit and in truth. Certainly God has navigated our niches, allowed us the privilege of being participatory in this place of praise once again. It's good to be alive. It's good to be active. For it is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He has blessed us with a wonderful, brilliant, and bright day. And certainly, we ought to be glad about it. That our beds were not our cooling boards. And our sheets were not our whining sheets. God has blessed us with life. And certainly life abundantly. Amen. 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 Smile at somebody if you will. Smile at somebody if you will. Let them know how enthused you are and eager you are and ecstatic you are to be in the house of the Lord. Come on. Lift them a little higher. Amen. Put a big smile on your face. Amen. Come on, look at somebody. They need it today. Amen. They have had a rough week on last week, and they need a smile. Amen. Amen. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down, every round rose, oh, since I laid my burdens down, every round goes. I am climbing, Jacob's ladder. I am climbing. Chapter 13. Certainly we thank God for the company of these pastors and preachers and the persons of Pastor Meredith Walker, Reverend Mims, Reverend McCoy, and we have Reverend Pitts. Is that right? Amen. Thank God for your presence today. Amen. And to our children, youth, who have led us in worship by way of puppet ministry, devotion, song, and praises, certainly to our senior deacons and trustees, ushers, media ministry, musicians, to the security environmental safety team. all of you. It's good for us to be here. It's good for us to be here. Amen. I'm excited about what God is doing, because He is including us. Paul Martin a few years ago said, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Amen. I want to be included. Amen. I want to be used of God. Amen. Acts chapter 13, beginning with verse 44. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the hold of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Gentiles stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Look at someone, if you will, and say, reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at another and say, reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, with elevated voices, help me shout at the virtual audience, reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you. You may be seated. The Lord has called the church and commissioned the church to go and spread the gospel, the good news, euangelion, of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, in His final words to the church, gave a command by saying, go into all the world, teach and baptize, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. They were not to go with their own message, but they were to go with the message of Christ, the message that they heard Him preach, because the message of Jesus Christ is the message unto salvation. For Jesus Himself went about preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, the kingdom is here, because the King has showed up. They were to go and preach as Jesus preached. Simple but powerful message that would bring those who would not only hear it, but believe it to salvation. He says, as you go, preach the good news about Jesus Christ, knowing that everyone who hears the gospel will not accept the gospel. That the church is not commanded to make people accept the gospel. But the church has the mandate of preaching, sharing the gospel. Brothers and sisters, as we glance this particular pericope, this particular passage of scripture in Acts chapter 13, know that this passage falls within the confines known as the missions era. In Acts chapter 13 through 28, the church is expanded across the Roman Empire. That Paul and Barnabas, who were selected by the Holy Spirit, were to take the gospel to the Gentiles living in Galatia. It was Paul's customary practice that as he would go from town to town, place to place, he would enter into the synagogue on Saturday preaching to the Jews. According to Acts chapter 13, verse 14, Paul and his company were in Antioch, Pisidia, where they entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and Paul went in, stood, and listened to the reading of the law and the prophets. And after listening to the reading of the law and prophets, he requested an audience. He wanted their ear. He wanted their heart for the sake of depositing the gospel. Paul, in his preaching, expounded on God's word concerning God's choice of Israel, how he brought the Israelites out of Egypt, out from under Egyptian bondage, and led them through the wilderness for 40 years. Paul also explained how God caused Israel to conquest the land of Canaan, set up judges, and set up the king's reign over Israel, and how God had anointed a king by the name of David as a man after his own heart. So out of David would come the lineage, or out of the lineage of David would come his son, and his son would be the savior of the world. God brought forth his only begotten son, Christ Jesus, as savior. And Paul, he expounded on, he further explained how Jesus died and that God raised him from the dead. He bridges the gap the Jews had concerning the fulfillment of the promises made in the Old Testament. You remember the promises. There was a promise made to Adam known as the Adamic Covenant. There was a promise made to Noah known as the Noahic Covenant. There was a promise made to Abraham known as the Abrahamic Covenant. There was a promise made to Moses known as the Mosaic Covenant. And there was a promise made to David known as the Davidic Covenant. He bridged the gap. He revealed to them how Jesus Christ would be the fulfillment of all that God had promised to Abraham, Noah, Adam, Moses, and David. That all is fulfilled in Christ. He preached, and people gave ear. And there were Jews and Gentiles that loved the message. And they inquired of Paul and Barnabas if they would come the next Sabbath. You know, after you get a word from the Lord, you ought to follow it up with a desire for a word from the Lord. They wanted to hear more preaching. And so after promising time and ministry at the synagogue in Antioch, Paul and Barnabas returned the following week, and almost the whole city together came to hear them preach the word of God. While he was preaching, Satan got in some of the devout Jews. You know, when good preaching going on, you have to expect Satan to show up. While he was preaching, the Jews became envious and jealous because of the response to his preaching. And then they began to evoke the people, the honorable women and the men against Paul and Barnabas. And they were slandering Paul and arguing against him audibly as he preached. Whenever he preached, they countered aloud. They weren't murmuring under their breath like some do. They were opening their mouths, speaking loud against Paul and Barnabas. Paul, he shares with us several things that instructs us as we, as a church, as we as God's people, reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, first of all, when preaching Jesus, there will be some who reject Jesus. And everybody on the padded pew, even this Sunday, the Sundays before, are not receptive. There will be some rejection of Jesus. Some who will reject Jesus. Notice verse 45. It says, but seeing you put it from you, you have judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Notice Paul and Barnabas put the gospel before them, but they put it from them. Here's the picture. It is the picture of one pushing a plate in front of someone full of food. And that person that the plate is being pushed in front of is hungry but refuses to eat. And because of their refusal to eat and their rejection of the food, they don't just let the plate sit there in front of them. What they do is push it from. See, it's not an absence of preaching. It's not a void of preaching, a lack of preaching. The problem is when the word is being preached, instead of you pulling it, you're pushing it. Oh, I ought to have a witness here. Oh, you, instead of you pulling it in and eating it up, you are pushing it away. And by pushing it away, you are rejecting. Because pushing away is a sign of rejection. By putting it from them, they rejected Jesus as the Savior. Same people John talking about. In John chapter 1, he says Jesus came to his own, but his own received him not. Instead of them pulling Jesus to them, they were pushing Jesus from them. They rejected the Savior. The Jews rejected Jesus as the Savior for several reasons. Number one, they didn't believe he was or he came from God. It was absolutely inconceivable for them to think that God had come down as a man and dwelt among them. They didn't think Jesus could forgive of sin. because only God, according to them, could forgive sin. So they didn't see Jesus as God. They didn't believe he could forgive of sins. They didn't accept Jesus' teaching that he is the only way to God. Let me pause parenthetically to say that we still have some people who don't believe that Jesus is the only way to God. They believe that there are more than one, several ways. Matter of fact, when you talk about the one way to God, they get offended. Some think they can meditate their way. Some think that they can give their way. Think that they can behave their way unto God. So this rejection is not something only of that day and of that time and the era. It is something of today. People still believe now that there is more than one way. So they rejected Jesus, the gospel of Jesus. They rejected him as Savior, but not only that, they rejected the scriptures about Jesus. Paul says, you put it from you. It reminds me of what Paul said in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. He says, my own people, the Jews, have rejected. Now, these people, the people, the Jews, have no reason to reject because they have the covenant. They saw the glory. They have the law. He says they saw the service and participated in the service of God. They had the promises. He says even their fathers, of whom concerning the flesh Christ came. He says they are without reason for rejecting Christ. But brothers and sisters, the ones you think will may not. And the ones you think will not just may. He says they had all of this going for them. And yet, they rejected the very one, all of what God had given them and all that God had done for them and all that God had done before them pointed to. They rejected scriptures about Jesus. They rejected salvation through Jesus. Again, in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. They're excited. But not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Here it is. He says, they thought they could be saved. They thought they could be right with God through their ceremonial practices of the law. If they would bring a goat or a lamb, if they would bring a pigeon or a turtle dove, if they would bring some animal before God, that God would accept them. He says they are ignorant. Ignorant means they don't know, they don't have knowledge. And the reason they are ignorant is the root word of the word ignorant, which means they have ignored. Here it is again. They have pushed the plate before them, but they have pushed the plate from them. See, I'm pushing the plate now. And some of you pushing it back. They are ignorant. They ignore the word of God and salvation through Christ because they have a way that seems right. But there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. They were right in their own eyes. They were right according to their own standard. They were right according to the opinion of those like them. He says, I bear them record. So he says, when the church reaches out, he says, understand that as we reach out with the gospel, everyone won't receive it. There will be some rejection because of the hardness of hearts, sinful attitudes that will cause people to reject the gospel. Paul and Barnabas were preaching to them, but because of the self-centeredness and vain ambitions that stood in their way of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, their stubbornness, resistance, revealed to Paul and Barnabas that it was unwise for them to keep sharing the gospel with those who rejected it. See, some of you are just worn out because you keep talking to the same folk. You're about on your last leg because you keep trying to hammer something in the people that they don't want in them. And he didn't say you have to sit there and make them. He says when they reject the gospel, you are to shake off the dust. Am I in the house? And some of you are tired this morning because you keep trying to tell the same story to the same people. Because when they reject it, they were turned. They were turned from. Now, let me encourage you. Don't let rejection discourage you. Now, I want you to understand now that the gospel is not your power to salvation. So when they reject you, they are not rejecting you. They are rejecting the message that you have carried. And the message you have carried is not about you. It's about the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. It's about God sending His Son into the world. So when they reject the message, don't you insert yourself in the place of Jesus as if they have rejected you. So don't let rejection discourage you. Paul wasn't discouraged by their stubbornness. Instead, he was turned and he pressed his way toward those he was turned to. Listen, when some reject you, God has ordained some to believe you. He has settled in the hearts of some people already to believe the word. And so he wants us to go with the message. And as we go with the message, all will not believe, but all will not reject either. Because God has ordained for some to receive it. So first of all, you deal with rejection. The rejection of Christ. But then if you're going to go and reach out, you have to have a respect for God's plan. That you don't hijack the agenda. And go and do as you like. But you go as God has commanded. Notice verse 4 to 6. It says, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Paul said it was necessary. Necessary by a moral or spiritual need. In other words, it was needful to begin with the Jews since they were God's chosen people. It was necessary to begin with the Jews because God has a destination for the gospel. Jesus in the gospel ordered his disciples, the apostles, to preach the gospel to all nations. Yet they were ordained and ordered to begin in Jerusalem and preach to the Jews first. You remember in Matthew chapter 10? He told the 12 to go, but rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he was ascending, they were ordered to be his witnesses. And he says they were to start in Jerusalem. That's home place. And then they were to go to Judea, that's down the street. And then they were to go to Samaria, that's across town. And then he says, go to the uttermost parts of the world, but you're not to go to the uttermost first. You have to start at home. Jerusalem. So they had a destination of the gospel. They were told where to take the gospel. You remember Paul in Romans chapter 1 verse 16. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we see a respect for God's plan. We see the rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then we also see the reception, or how some received God's word. Verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Notice they were glad. You know, when you really blood bought, when you really say the word ought to make you glad. You know, you can come in sad, down, and depressed, but the word of God ought to pick you up, turn your life around, and plant your feet on solid ground. Listen, when you come in, you ought to come in one way and leave another way. Listen, the worst could have happened in your life on last week. But when you come in and sit under the word of God, you ought to leave glad. It'll do it for you. Ought to have a witness.
somebody in here that can testify that I was lost on my way to hell, but I messed around and sat under some preachers and I heard the gospel message and I came in sad, wounded, and weary, but when I left glad. Oh, he'll make you glad, I tell you. He'll put clapping in your hand. He'll put stomping in your feet. He'll put joy in your heart. He'll put a praise on your lips. Do I have a witness? Is there anybody here can testify that God did it for me? I was on my way to a devil's hell. No God on my side. But I heard how he died one Friday afternoon. He was placed in a borrowed tomb. He stayed in the grave Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, that message put thumping in my feet, put clapping in my hand. Put a praise on my lips because he saved my soul. I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad that I'm a child of God. I'm glad that he saved me. I got to run and tell somebody about a Jesus who can save anybody because he saved me. Do I have a witness? I got to run and tell somebody about a Jesus who can feed the hungry, about a Jesus who can raise the dead, about a Jesus that can open blinded eyes. I got to go run and tell somebody about a Jesus who can give you life and life more abundantly. If you got life, you ought to stand on your feet and high five somebody and say, I'm living my best life because I got life in Jesus. And let me ask you my question. Ain't he alright? If you know he's alright, let me hear you say, yeah! Yeah! Living my best life. I'm glad. I don't have a right or reason to be looking down, looking depressed, looking defeated. I got the joy of the Lord in my heart. I'm glad. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad. Brother Joe Douglas Vincent sings a song, I'm glad. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm so glad. I'm saved. That's the way you ought to leave church. Glad. Get back home. People in the house ought to be asking, what's wrong with you smiling so much? I'm glad. Get on the job tomorrow and people looking at you trying to figure out what is it about your weekend that got you smiling so. I'm glad. I'm in Christ. And Christ is in me. Because I received the message of his death, burial, and resurrection. The door of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here and you're not saved, come. Come. You can come by letter, Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. First appeal is for those who are not saved. Give the Lord your life while the blood is running warm in your vein. You can do that by simply believing in your heart that God raised his son from the dead and confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus.
Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Secondly, if you're here, need of a church home, and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Baptist Church on your heart as a faith family, come. Thirdly, if you're here and you're backslidden, the altar of the Lord is open to you. You can come lay on your face before God. Bless you, baby. Bless you. Come on. Come on. The doors. Come on. The door stands ajar. Come. 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 As our you say. Come on. Listen to them. The children say come. Pastor Meredith Walker say come. Reverend Neal. Reverend McCoy, I say come. Deacon say come. Trustee say come. Ursha say come. Greeting minister say come. Environmental safety team say come. The media minister, everybody say come. Come. Come on, the door still. Stand ajar. Come. I'm glad. Come on, the doors. Oh, yeah. Come on. Don't let this day pass you by. Come on. Come on. Jesus loves you, and he wants to save you. For the gospel is a message of his love for you. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have the everlasting life. That's not a hate message to me. That's a message of the deepest, dearest love one can have for mankind. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Brenda and Kylie Bendon Dix. Okay, bad. All right. You come in on Christian experience, that means that you have already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But you're coming from a church of like faith. All right. And that church is out of existence, still in existence. That you have already accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we don't want to take you through that again, because we don't want to bring into open shame your faith in Christ has saved you. To be a member of the church, we have orientation, 4 classes that are taught on Sundays at 9:20 to 10:20. And we have it there in the bridal room, and we want you to take part. It is not a test of your faith. It is just a series of teachings to assure you of your faith, to assure you of your salvation in Christ, to inform you of what it means to fellowship, how important fellowship is, how to study your word so that the word of God can be your guide, and how to partner with church in giving to meet the needs within and without the church. Will you agree to take orientation classes? Will you agree to take orientation classes? Amen. So we'll see you next Sunday. Amen. Hospitality
member will give you your name and your information, and she will communicate that to the secretary, and we will be in touch with you. Thank you. May God bless you. May God bless you. Amen. Come on again. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Everyone to your feet, if you will. Father, we thank you for what our ears have heard. Eyes have seen, hearts have received. Thank you, Lord, for manifesting your presence among us, in us and through us. Thank you for a life change. For you are constantly working on us to make us like your Son, Christ Jesus. That's your will, that's your desire for us. And we are pliable. We give ourselves to you without force, without resistance, because what you are doing in us and through us is for our good, but it's mainly for your glory. So thank you. Thank you for these you have sent to us. And we pray, Father, that we will be one as, Lord, you and your Son Christ are one. That the message of Christ will not be distorted, be denied by sinner men and sinner women, sinner boys and sinner girls, but will be believed on because they see us as your people and are in unity. Now, Father, as we've made it ready to leave this place, we pray that your grace and mercy, Lord, the communion of the Holy Spirit, that it will rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth and forevermore. And every heart say amen.